On one of the busiest travel days of the year, a substantial percentage of airline passengers is trying to figure out, is it luggage? Does it need its own seat? Can it fit in the overhead bin? And how do I explain this to the TSA? What's the strangest, most difficult, unusual piece of carry-on that you've ever wrestled into an airplane? Call 800-989-8255 or send us an email, talk@npr.org. You can also tell us your story on our blog. That's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Sue Richards has a chronic problem, like a lot of people who struggle with this issue. She's a musician who flies from gig to gig with her instrument, a Celtic harp. Let me confess, in the interest of full disclosure, that she and I both perform with a group called Ensemble Galilei. So I have seen the look in an airline clerk's eyes as Sue wheels a large and strangely shaped green box up to the counter. Sue Richards joins us on the line from her home in Rockville, Maryland. Merry Christmas, Sue.
Hello, Neil.
So what is it like traveling with a harp?
It's a lot of work. It's really hard work.
Do you remember that? I mean, you've seen it more often than I have. As you approach the counter, the clerk looks in sheer terror at the size of this thing that you've got with you.
Yeah, well, usually they run straight for the regulations book and you know, grab their measuring tape and measure everything in it and, you know, do all the math and then decide whether they're going to charge an oversized fee. And, of course, they always do.
Not always.
Not always.
But most of the time they do. There's also the eternal question, I should note, on the side of this large, heavy green box, the words harp are spelled out. And
right.
I can't ask you the number of times people say, hey, what's in there?
Yes. Yeah, I'm convinced that most of the world can't read.
It's an extraordinary situation. Do you have to explain it? You take it through security, through the line sometimes.
Yes. Yeah, it has to go through security. They always open it up. They usually rifle through everything and, you know, take everything out and put it back in. And hopefully they put it back in the right way.
Now, we should note this is a Celtic harp, not a full orchestral or pedal harp. It's about half that size, right?
Correct, yes. It's about 4.5 feet tall. If you can imagine a child's bicycle boxed up, that's what it would look like.
So just awkward enough that it really causes a lot of problems.
Right, right.
What's the worst situation you've ever had with it?
Well, I've not had any really terrible situations. The worst, most recent one, other than, of course, getting it lost, you know, it doesn't always get onto the airplane, and it's usually delivered a few hours later. But other than that, they tried to send it down the conveyor belt, and it didn't fit and totally got stuck. And it looked as though the box was completely crushed. But
this right after one of your traveling companions was saying, hey, it's going so smoothly.
Yes. Miraculously, it all popped back and everything was fine.
The heavy outside box is what protects it.
Yes, yes.
And that's very well constructed.
The harp is in a soft case inside a hard case, so it's pretty well protected. And I also pack stuff around the, you know, between the soft case and the hard case.
And I have to say that it has, as you mentioned, been lost a couple of times. But as long as I've been traveling with you, always lost on the way home, never on the way to the gig.
Well, it's true. I don't know why that is. But you're right. It usually gets lost on the way home.
So, Sue Richards, I'll see you in Ithaca.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
And bring the harp with you.
Absolutely.
Sue Richards, Sue Richards of Ensemble Galilei. She plays the Celtic harp and travels around with it around the country. If you travel with something awkward, unusual, well, if you've had a hard time explaining it to the TSA, give us a call, 800-989-8255. This email from Chris in New Haven, Connecticut. In early 1980, I flew from the East Coast to Salt Lake with a handmade kit assembled mountain dulcimer in a No. 3 mail bag. It was often mistaken for a sawed-off shotgun, though not on that particular flight. Let's see if we can get somebody else on the line. And this is Angie. Angie with us from LaPorte in Michigan. Indiana, excuse me.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
I have two stories. One is an unsuccessful and the other one was successful. I called an airline. I was attending a wedding in Tennessee and I was going to fly from Chicago. And the gift was a knife set. So I called the airline people and I asked them if I could bring my knife set along, and they said, oh sure, go ahead, bring it along, but we want to tell you that you will not be attending the wedding. And the second one was a garden sculpture made out of rakes and shovels, and they're kind of, it was a gift birthday present for a friend of mine, and I got it in Florida, and I was trying to take it on the airplane. I had it in a bag, and I had wrapped it in newspaper. Well, they just hassled me to no end, but at the end, the stewardess did take the sculpture and put it in that front compartment, and I was thankful because it was about the size of, as high as my waist, and it was sharp and, you know, full of things like rakes and hoes and things like that. So I was successful there.
You managed to get that one on, but did not take the knife set with you.
That's right.
Okay. I hope you mailed that successfully.
I did.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call.
Bye.
Here's an email from Doug in Columbus, Ohio. In 1990, I moved to Hawaii from Columbus. I was taking a cello with me. I didn't have the hard case for it, so I had one built at a store that sold cardboard boxes. For some reason, the store made the heavy box in the shape of a coffin. My mother dropped me off at the airport. I was in tears from the emotion of leaving my home to move so far away. I put the coffin-shaped box on the Skycart and wheeled it with my luggage to check in. It took about 5 minutes to get to the front of the line. When I finally got to the front of the line, I noticed that none of the people behind me had advanced any further, wanting to keep their distance. The airline agent stamped the box and hoisted it onto the conveyor belt with a roughness that was not appropriate for a dead body, and I started laughing at the horrified faces in the line behind me. It was the start of a memorable move for me. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this will be Kathleen. Kathleen with us from Castroville in Texas.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
In 1986, we came back from Okinawa to the States, and we brought with us our Basset Hound. And every time you fly that way, you have to go through Narita. And we were on the tarmac at Narita with the engines off, and I could hear our dog baying in the cargo bay.
The Narita's the airport just outside of Tokyo.
Tokyo, yes.
Yeah. And what could you do about it?
Nothing. Nothing. We just sat there and pretended we didn't know whose dog that was.
Was baying at inappropriate moments one of those that dog's habits?
Well, he was just, it was nonstop. And we had given him some medication to help him with the flight and everything, but it had worn off already.
And it's a long way from Narita to, you were coming from Okinawa or going to Okinawa?
From Okinawa to San Francisco.
So he had a long way left to go.
Yes.
Yeah, well, did you hear him on the rest of the flight?
No, once the engines were running, we couldn't hear him.
Softer than a jet engine. Well, you could advertise him that way if you ever had to sell him.
Yes.
Thanks very much for the call, Kathleen.
Thank you.
So long. This is an email from Pete. Traveling in the USA with my sister, we found some beautiful tools for her son, a cabinet-making student in Germany, a saw from Sweden, and an axe. I carried a traditional saw wrapped only in a plastic garbage bag aboard, and my sister brought the axe, a long-handled axe. The attendant never questioned my saw, but she asked my sister about the axe. She explained that on her ticket stated she could bring on board anything to make her more comfortable and feel safe. The axe made her comfortable and safe feeling. We flew from Los Angeles to Detroit with the saw and the axe both under our seats in 1995. Let's go now to Carlos. Carlos with us from Chicago.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm with a performance group here in Chicago we call EE, and what we regularly we've flown with these giant, colorful, oversized hula hoops.
Hula hoops?
Yes.
And how do you explain those when you're trying to get them on the airplane?
Well, we basically check them in as, I guess, oversized luggage. I mean, they're pretty light, and they do bend, so we managed to get them on into the cargo area, and, like, we're looking down at the at the baggage handlers, and, oh, there's our hula hoops. Oh, there's so-and-so's, you know, whatever.
Right.
I mean, apart from the fact that we're carrying drums and horns, and regularly we have to, like, do a gait check with some of the drums. And the other thing that we carry, or actually one time, one of my last trips to New York City, my bandmate found a perfectly good Danish chair on the curb, and the way he packed it, he packed it so it was kind of recognizable as a chair, all in cardboard. And there was a little area when we finally flew back into Chicago where, like, unusual-sized baggage was this long, slow conveyor belt behind the carousel where it started slowly shoving out. So
the previously undiscovered parts of the airport, yeah.
Yeah, that little – actually, yeah, it was right there. So, I mean, It was right behind, yeah, behind the carousel. Exactly. No one really looks there unless you have, like, an unusual size baggage. But it was, yeah, I mean, kind of mundane compared to some of these other stories, axes and saws. But just the same, we're a sight to see in the airport with all our hula hoops and instruments. So, yeah.
Hmm. Well, thanks very much. You've never had a hula hoop destroyed?
Actually, no, they bent a little bit out of shape, but they ended up reshaping after a while. They're made of, like, PVC.
Yeah, most of the passengers arrived bent out of shape, too.
Yeah, I guess don't have to feel too sorry for those hula hoops.
Thanks very much for the call, Carlos.
Oh, thank you.
So long. A number of years ago, writes Kathy in Oregon, I won a contest on my flight for the most unusual item. I won a bottle of champagne from the flight attendant for my jar of bacon grease and a sketch of the design of my parents' headstone. The bacon grease was for a family recipe. The flight attendant's jaw dropped, and she said, no question, you've won. We agree. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's see if we can get another caller on. Carol. Carol's calling us from St. Louis.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What was the strangest thing you ever tried to get on an airplane?
Well, I was at a conference down in Florida, and at the very last minute won a raffle, and I won a flamingo costume. Now, I'm a humorist, and the flamingo is my symbol, and so I had to get this home, but it was too bulky for my carry-on luggage, and I had no room in my suitcase, so I had no choice but to wear it.
To wear the flamingo costume.
Yes. Going through security was a lot of fun. The TSA agent just looked at me and in total deadpan said, you do know we'll have to pull you aside for extra investigation. And I said, that's fine. I've allowed enough time for that. And he said, don't take it personally. All flamingos must be inspected before leaving Florida. And then he said, have a seat over here. Nest yourself in. We will get a female TSA agent over shortly. And he said, and only female TSA agents may inspect flamingos.
I see.
So,
certainly didn't want to ruffle your feathers.
Right, but. Absolutely. Now, the gal had to wand me like four times because she couldn't stop giggling. And of course, they're supposed to be very serious, and she was having a very hard time maintaining her composure. And, of course, I made sure that the neck of the thing, it was a big, bulky body, and then the neck came up in front of me and wrapped around my head like a cap to make the beak. And so she says, I'm also going to have to feel your neck. And I said, sure. And she's feeling my neck. I'm going, ooh, that tickles. And she said, oh, please don't do this. I'm having a hard enough time. The sad thing was the flight attendants did not find it funny at all. I had flown on frequent flyer miles, so I was flying first class. And they just totally ignored me the whole trip. My seatmate, who I didn't know, had to order stuff for me because they would not talk to me or make eye contact with me. It was very sad.
Oh, that the flight attendants usually have the best sense of humor of anybody.
Yeah, so. I know. Well, this is, I guess, the wrong airline for that.
Well, maybe they had a hard time with the last flamingo. You never know.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'd had a violent flamingo on there or something. But I had little kids stopping, and I think they were mad because I was holding up traffic because the little kids all had to stop and pet me. And one asked for my autograph, and I had one family ask to have their picture taken with me because it was the only flamingo they'd seen in Florida.
Thanks very much for the call.
My husband waiting with a digital camera, not to get a picture of me, but to get a picture of my then 16-year-old son's face when he saw me walk out of the...
And you had an answer. I just flew in from Miami, and boy, are my wings tired.
Yeah, right, exactly.
There you go. All right. So, thanks very much for the call, Carol.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Here's an email we got from John in Waxhaw, North Carolina. When I was in the military, I took a flight with a stopover in Denver. The flight was canceled due to snow, so I teamed up with two women to share a room. But first, we had to track down the one woman's package, a side of beef. She said it was a great price, so she decided to buy it and take it with her on the plane. Let's see if we can get Greg on the line. Greg calling us from Washington, D.C.
Good afternoon. Hey. I flew once with a 6-foot-long blowgun from the Amazon.
Really?
Yes, and it affirmed the security of it when I said it was a type of gun, and they made me put the darts in my luggage carry-on, but otherwise they let me bring it on.
Were there curare-tip darts that you had with it that you put in the luggage?
No, there was no curare, no poison at all.
No poison at all, so you did manage to get the whole thing on. Did it fit
in my lap.
And you just held it in your lap, I was going to say. It wouldn't have fit in the overhead bin.
No, it sat kind of between my legs and then over my shoulder.
And have you managed to
fairly fit in.
And is this now one of the treasured items in your home?
Absolutely, yes.
And let me put it this way. Are you single?
I am single.
Can't imagine why. Thanks very much for the call, Greg.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. This email from Chris in San Francisco. As a former member of the Yale Concert Band, I traveled with the 60-member ensemble to Brazil. The tubas and xylophones were one thing. I don't think the security personnel had ever seen a bassoon. Long wooden tubes and metal rods raised some eyebrows, to say the least. By the way, traveling with some 75-plus instruments makes overhead storage a tricky puzzle. Yes, indeed, it does. This from Ann in Kansas City. I took a full-length fur coat to Chicago with me one winter, and in trying to stuff it into one of those overhead bins, one of its sleeves was hanging down, brushing some very patient man's head. At about that time, the guy in front of him turned around and said, "Do you want me to shoot it?" At which we all got a great big chuckle. And Laura in Phoenix, Arizona, got all the way from New Zealand to LAX via Tahiti with no problems, but then they charged me an additional $100 to get my board from LAX to Phoenix, Arizona. Of course, upon arrival in Phoenix, I discovered my surfboard was broken along the way. Oh, they dinged her board. They attempted to subdue me with a $50 travel certificate. All I know is I will never travel with a custom surfboard again. Thank you all very much for your submissions by email and by phone to the strangest thing you've ever tried to take on a plane, and we wish all of you trying to do that today the best of luck the day after Christmas Day. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.